أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Continuing the same topic on the etiquettes of salat and prayers, we come to the point, and that is the place where a person is going to perform his prayer, that is the masjid, or that musalla, or that prayer mat where he wants to say his prayers. I'll recite a hadith here from our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Imam says here that إِذَا بَلَغْتَ بَابَ الْمَسْجِدِ, that if you came to the door of the mosque, or if you came to your prayer mat, for example, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ قَسَدْتَ مَلِكًا عَظِيمًا لَا يَطَعُ بِسَاطَتَهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. Know that you have come to the presence of a king, a ruler who is great. With that mindset, or with that assumption, or with that imagination, you come to the mosque. That you've come to a place, you've come to a king, a ruler, who possesses everything. And he does not allow anyone to his presence, but those who are pure, who are mutahhar. وَلَا يُؤْذَنُ لِمُجَالَسَتِهِ الصِّدِّيقُونَ. And he does not permit anyone into his presence, but only those who are true, who are فَهَبْ الْقُدُومَ إِلَىٰ بِسَاطِ خِدْمَتِهِ حَيْبَةَ الْمَلِكِ. Now that you have intended to say your prayers, and you've come to the place to say your prayers, the steps you step forward should be very dignified, because you are stepping into the presence of a ruler, a king who is so great. فَإِنَّكِ عَلَىٰ خَطْرٍ عَظِيمٍ إِنْ غَفَلْتِ. And if your steps shook, or if you were not that dignified in your presence and coming to the prayer, then you are in great danger. Why? Because you are in the presence of someone who is so great. And then Imam says that وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ مَا يَشَىٰ. Now with this imagination we have to come to the prayers. That we are coming to someone who possesses the ability to do whatsoever he wants. قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ مَا يَشَىٰ مِنَ الْعَدْلِ وَالْفَضْلِ. May that be based upon his justice, or may that be based upon his grace. In either cases, he is someone who is great. Now if God was to judge between us based upon his justice, no one in this entire creation will find salvation. No one. During the time of Prophet Musa, there was a person that he used to say that, God, judge me with your grace. Judge me with your justice, not with your grace. Because we've got this teaching, and in Nahjul Balagha, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that, Allahumma aqibni bifadlik, wala tu'aqibni bi'adlik. God, if you were to judge me in the hereafter, judge me with your grace. Don't judge me with your justice. Now this person, he was having that prayer that, judge me with your adl. And then when the angels, they come to him and say that, why do you have such a prayer? He said that, I haven't done anything wrong all my life. I've been worshipping Allah for the 70, 80 years of my life. So I don't need him to judge me with his grace. Justice will be okay. Now the angels, they are commanded to sit and calculate all the blessings that Allah has given to him. And when they calculate all of the blessings that Allah has given to him, that cannot be a match to whatever worship he has done throughout his life. And when they calculate, they come up, for example, with just one apple. The price of an apple was the worship of this person for 70 years. Because one apple to grow All these blessings of Allah, they have to go hand in hand. The sun, the moon, the earth, the water, the irrigation, all these different things, they have to go hand in hand. And after that, these fruits and vegetables and all the blessings of Allah grow. They say that worship of yours, which was for 70 years, is worth only one apple that Allah has given to you. So we have to ask Allah to judge us with His grace. Because if He is to judge with His grace, then there are more chances of us to be being accepted. And then Imam says that, wal fadl, that you are coming to a presence of someone who is so great, who possesses that might and authority that he could judge with justice and with His grace. فَإِنْ عَتَثَ عَلَيْكَ بِفَضْلِهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ قَبِلَ مِنْكَ يَسِيرُ الطَّاعَ. That if He was to judge with His grace, the little worship we do, He will accept it. But وَأَجْزَلَ لَكَ عَلَيْهَا ثَوَابًا كَثِيرًا. And for that little worship you do, He will give you a lot of thawab. And again, it's quite a lengthy hadith. And then Imam says that when you are coming to the prayer mat, or to the musalla, or to the masjid to say your prayers, have that mindset, that imagination, وَاعْتَرِفْ بِعَجْزِكَ وَتَقْسِيرِكَ. With this imagination that you are all wrong, you've done all wrong, you've all these shortcomings in the worship of Allah, in His service, with that mindset come to prayer, and then when you come there with meekness, with humbleness, you would be able to perform a better service. And says that, وَلْتَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ أَسْرَارُ الْخَلْقِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَعَلَى نِيَتِهِمْ. That you are coming to the presence of someone who knows the secrets of everyone, secrets of all the creation that he has. And then Imam says, وَكُنْ كَأَفْقَرِ عِبَادِهِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. When you stand for prayers, as if you are the most wretched, the most faqir from among the servants of Allah. With that mindset come. وَحْلُ قَلْبَكَ عَنْ كُلِّ شَاغِلٍ. And then switch everything out of your heart, all those attachments, everything which disturbs you, put it aside. And then says, يَحْجُبُكَ عَنْ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا الْأَطْهَرُ وَالْأَخْلَصُ. And then says that, فَإِذَا عَلِمَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَلْبِكَ صِدْقَ الْإِلْتِجَاءِ. That if Allah finds that this heart of yours that has stood for worship, now the prayer hasn't started yet, it's all a preparation, or you could put it in this way, that it's the taxiing of this plane. It hasn't ascended, it hasn't taken off yet. So we are preparing for the prayers. We are coming to the prayers. And the Imam says that, فَإِذَا عَلِمَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَلْبِكَ صِدْقَ الْإِلْتِجَاءِ. That if Allah finds out from your heart, it's all trustworthy, it's all truth, and that you are coming Him with all that true hopes, إِلَيْهِ نَظَرَ إِلَيْكَ بِعَيْنِ الرَّأْفَ. Allah will look at you with His kind look, with His kind eyes. وَالرَّحْمَةِ لِمَا يُحِبُّ وَيَرْضَى فَإِنَّهُ كَرِيمٌ يُحِبُّ الْكَرَامَةَ لِعِبَادِهِ. Why is that? Because He is benevolent and He wants all that benevolence for His creation. So we have to try that one of the reasons why we have all these beautiful ahadith from Ma'asumeen, they say that a place of worship should be well, it should be nice, clean, and there shouldn't be all this disturbance in there, because that's the place where a person wants to ascend, wants to attach, wants to get connected to Allah. And with that sincerity, if he does offer the prayers, now quoting from Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Umar Ashi Najafi, who died in the early 90s, and among the Maraja'i Taqleed, who was in Qum, and there is a big library which he has created, thousands of books which he personally collected throughout his life, a very noble person. He says that during his lifetime there was a person, a very poor person, but he was a dignified man. The beauty of this person was that whenever it was time for prayers, he said his prayers on time. And he had no house to live in, living in the streets, and also food and drink, very minimum, whatever he used to get, but he was a dignified, noble man. Says that he died. And then he or one of the others, they saw him and they said to him, "How did you end up with all those on-time prayers of yours?" He says, "Yeah, everything was fine. Now, one of the things was accepted from him as the best." Now, what was that? Qom, it's a salty place, it's a dry place. And you've got a lake over there, it's called Daryat-e Namak, and it's all salt. And it so happens that if you have seen these places where they dig out salt, those mineral, those plants, you find only salt and nothing else. He says that Allah, he used to give me little bit of food and drink, and I was happy with that. And it so happened that a day I ended up into one of these salt mines, and there I could find no food and drink, nothing, it was only salt. It was time for prayers, and I wanted to say my prayers, no water. Now when there's no water, you can do tayammum. Says the place I was in, there wasn't anything on which I could do tayammum. And then he says to Allah that all these years you gave me that little food and drink, and I was happy, I was pleased, I lived. Now over here I have no water and nothing to do my tayammum. I'll say my prayers without tayammum and without wuzu, as I can't do them. You also with your grace accept it. And he says that that was something which Allah picked as the best. That was because of that sincerity, that khulus, as a result of which that was accepted as the best. And those with the divine awareness, when they see that this universe is a mosque of Allah, he must be careful that they enter it with purity, purity of both the soul and the body. So we have to have this mindset, this imagination, that this entire creation is Allah's. Now the riwayat, they say that when you have to assume that the throne of Allah is the dome of this creation, and this earth, the land, all of it, it's that masjid on which you have to bow down. So with that imagination, you come towards prayers, that everything belongs to him, the rule is his, the dome of his throne is the dome of this earth, and then this earth is that masjid and the place of sajda. With that imagination, a person feels that everything belongs to him and a better service can be performed. So, associating and being seated with him, that is with the existence of Allah, because we are going to the presence of Allah to say these prayers, to the true and the purified, it's the Siddiqeen and the Mukhlaseen. That is one part of it, that we are coming to a place, that is to say our prayers with that imagination, coming to someone who possesses everything, who is the Lord of the Lords, who is the ruler of the rulers, and we are coming to his presence, and that his throne is the dome, and this land is this earth is the masjid. That is exactly that ayah says that وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. That the masajid, they belong to Allah, and don't invite anyone with him. That is, we are coming to say the prayers now. Now that when we are standing, we have stood up, qamat as-salah has been said, we haven't started yet. It says, Ya ayyuhal muddassir, qum fa'anzir, wa rabbaka fakabbir, wa thiyabaka fatahhir. Addressing Rasulullah, the Almighty says that, O you who are clothed, rise and warn, and your Lord, you magnify him, you glorify him, and your garments you purify. So it's a few instructions in this one ayah. That Ya ayyuhal muddathir, addressing to Rasulullah, rise. So says Qum. We have Qiyam. Now this Qiyam, which is istiqamat, it's to stand, it's to rise in ethics, in justice, it's to be upright. That is, no inclinations to any extreme, no right, no left. So we rise, we stand in the presence of God with no attachment, with no inclination to any side. Now, Our sixth Imam, he defines what this Qiyam is, that when we are standing for prayers, he says that huwa waqifun bayna al-ya's wat-tamaa, that a person stands between, ya's means helplessness, between that he is hopeless from every side, and wat-tamaa, and there is greed also. So he stands in a way that he is helpless and also he is in need. وَالصَّبْرِ وَالْجَزَىٰ stands between patience and also jaza, which is cry. كَانَ الْوَعْدُ لَهُ سُنِعُ وَالْوَعْدُ بِهِ وَقَعَ. So with that imagination we stand before Allah, that we possess nothing and there is all this hope we have and the greed that we have. Then comes niyyah, we intend that we are saying the prayers قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ. Now normally that is what is said. But what does niyyah means? Generally it's the intention. Intention of what? Intention to obedience, that is wanting in greed or due to fright. So we stand for prayers with an intention, that is the niyyah. And again this niyyah, it's of different categories and different levels based upon the every individual. And as the ranks go higher, it becomes more delicate, it's more refined. Now the general is قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ, that we come to Allah to seek His nearness with these prayers. One of them is that we intend to obedience, wanting in greed, or it's due to fright. Greed, that is for the sake of paradise. Fright, that is of the hell. Or it's another level up, it's that, and that is for those who have more ma'rifah, more awareness of Allah, it's intending obedience due to the greatness of Allah. فَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ, as it was mentioned yesterday, that you worship Allah as if you see Him. And if you don't see Him, Allah is seeing you. And the next level up is that the niyyah, it's that we intend Him. And that is the intending of the lovers, of those who love Allah. That is obedience due to love. And for this, the Holy Prophet says that أَفْضَلُ النَّاسِ مَنْ عَشِقَ الْعِبَادَةِ فَعَانَقَهَا وَأَحَبَّهَا بِقَلْبِهِ, that the best of people, they are those who love worship, who adore it, who embrace it, and who love this worship. So that is again another level, that the niyyah over there means love. Again, niyyah over there meant obedience because of fright or fear. Again, niyyah, back there it mentioned that a person has stood in obedience to Allah. When it comes to the takbiratul ihram, that we've come with all that imagination, coming to the presence of Allah, and that is the throne is His, is the dome, and this earth is that masjid, standing in the presence of Allah with this intention that we have intended obedience of Allah, we want to say this takbiratul ihram. Takbiratul iftitah also, it's the other term. One of them, it's wajib, that we say Allahu Akbar and we start prayers. But the teaching is that we say those takbirat 7 times. That is, the 7th becomes that the takbir, which is the opening of the prayers. And again, the reason for that, why it's 7, when Abu Abdullah al-Hussein was a toddler and he just started to speak, and Rasulullah, he wants to say his prayers, and Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, he's with Rasulullah. He says Allahu Akbar once, and Abu Abdullah, he couldn't say that properly because he's a child, a toddler at that time. Rasulullah says that 2nd time he could say that a little bit better. 3rd time, 4th time, 5th time. And it was the 7th time when he said Allahu Akbar, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein said Allahu Akbar correctly. And from there it becomes sunnah that when you want to start your prayers, you start it with these 7 takbirat, that Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the 7th, it's that opening of that namaz of yours, which is the takbiratul ihram. Now, what is the secret behind this takbir? That when we want to say this takbir, what does it mean? Now that we've cleansed our intentions before God, the niyyah, the intentions that we have, and we have enlightened our hearts, and we've entered the group who are loyal to Allah, and we've prepared ourselves to enter the door and seek the permission for the doors to open, we have to say that takbiratul ihram, that we want to enter that zone which is so sterile. To enter that zone, we say Allahu Akbar and then enter that namaz. And again, it's so delicate. It says that when we say this takbiratul ihram, if you feel that fright in yourself, it means that that permission has been granted to you and you can enter. When you, inshallah, may Allah grant us all this tawfiq to visit, to go for ziyarat, we recite this Izni Dukhul, Adkhulu Ya Mawlai, Adkhulu Ya Rasulullah, Adkhulu Ya Malaikatullah, so on and so forth. And there, Ma'asumeen, they say that when you are saying that Izni Dukhul, and if a tear drops off your eye, it means that permission has been granted, you can enter. The same thing is over here in Takbiratul Ihram, when we've prepared ourselves and we want to say that Takbir, and if you feel that fear in you and that tremor in you and that shaking in you, it means that it has been granted, you can enter. That is, this taxiing which was all being prepared, it can take off, it can fly now. That is, you can enter prayer. There are quite a lot of adab that are to be observed for prayers, that if you want to have this mood, and now those who are young, it's good and easier for them to practice this. And the more you practice, the more you become stronger, and the better service it would be. Now, as the age grows, it becomes tougher. But the person, the younger he is, the better he can adapt all these du'as, all these etiquettes, all these adab that are there. Various du'as are there, that when you want to stand for prayer, before you say that takbiratul ihram, you recite a du'a, Allahumma antal malikul haqqul mubeen. They are small du'as. And then you say a takbir. After that again you say that, labbayka wa sa'dayk wal khair fi yadayk wa sharru laysa ilayk wal mahdiyu man hadayk, etc. until the end. So all these are little du'as that we have. And then we want to say this, Allahu Akbar. So the moment we want to say that Allahu Akbar, and we have that, that permission has been granted, then the caller says, taqaddam, that is, enter, come forth. That is, you can start your prayers. So that is how a person enters his prayer. And among the things that we have, that is, before you say that last takbir, prior to that, now each takbir when you say, you ask Allah by one of His good names. And the final good name that we have before that final takbir, we say that, Ya Muhsin qad ataka al musi, anta al muhsinu wa ana al musi. Muhsin is someone who does good. Now everyone does some type of a good. But Muhsin, it's from Ihsan. It's a good that is done without any want, without any desire, not confronting anything. He just does it one way. That is ihsan, that is good. So we say that, Ya Muhsin, O he who is Muhsin, that who he who does good, who does ihsan, قَدْ أَتَاكَ الْمُسِي, someone who is all wrong, a wrongdoer has come to you. Ma'asum says that, if a person was not sincere in this claim of his that he is Muhsin and that you have come to him, you have to be very careful, because sometimes you find that hypocrisy also may be uttered over here. That we just say that Ya Muhsin qad ataka al-musi, it's just a verbal saying, a recital from the tongue. That shouldn't be the case. We say that Ya Muhsin, O who he is all good, someone who is all wrong has come to your presence. So the more we say these things, the more minute and small we assume ourselves, as if everything around us, it minimizes, and that what only stays before us is that existence of Allah. I'll again recite another hadith from our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Says that, إِذَا كَبَّرْتَ فَاسْتَصْغِرْ مَا بَيْنَ الْعُلَى وَالثَّرَى دُونَ الْكِبْرِيَاءِ. That when you say takbir, when you say Allahu Akbar before your, when starting your prayers, everything apart from Allah, minimize it, make it small. That what remains in your sight, in your imagination, it's that existence of Allah who has to be great, He has to be glorified. And then says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا اتَّلَعَ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ. If Allah تبارك وتعالى finds out the heart of a servant, وَهُوَ يُكَبِّرْ وَفِي قَلْبِهِ عَارِضٌ عَنْ حَقِيقَتِهِ, he تَكْبِيرِهِ قَالَ يَا كَاذِبْ. Allah says that He will look into the heart of this person, and if He finds that he has said Allahu Akbar, but it's not true, that his claim is not true, that he wants to say, he's saying Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, but in his heart everything else is great, Allah is not great, immediately Allah, He addresses him saying, Ya Kadhib, O liar, Attakhdauni, do you want to cheat me? Wa izzati wa jalali, la uharrimannaki halawata dhikri, by my dignity, by my might, I will definitely seize away the sweetness of my munajat, of my remembrance from you. That is, if our claim was false, if we said Allahu Akbar, that is, God is great, but in our hearts He wasn't great, everything else was great, He wasn't great. He says, and I will take away that sweetness of my munajat. Now many a times you find that we don't feel, we don't enjoy prayers. That is the reason. Now all these are things which are bestowed from Allah, given to us from Allah. Sometimes we have this rumor which Mumineen say that Bulawa nahi aya ziyarat ka, that he hasn't called, Imam hasn't called. That is all true. It may sound a bit weird, but that is true. The initiative has to be from the Imam. He has to call you. Once he's called, then you head on. In prayers also it's the same. He has to invite. The invitation is from him, and we have to accept. But we also have to make the preparations for that invitation so that he invites us. We can't just sit and say that invite and he hasn't. Says that I will take away the sweetness of my munajat, of remembering me, if that claim of his, if that uttering of that takbir of his was false. And then says, لَأَحْجُبَنَّكَ عَنْ قُرْبِي. Well, and I will distance you from my qurb, from my presence. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala help us in performing these prayers in a better way. And this great gem that has been blessed and given to us, may He tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we can protect it. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, by those who have performed the best of the prayers, give us a chance and opportunity that we also can say the prayers as they ought to be said. May Allah grant us tawfiq to be in His service, in His worship. And all those who are ill and ailing, may He grant them shifa. All those who have passed away, may Allah elevate their ranks. May Allah hasten the reappearance of our Imam and count us among His true servants. وَسُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Ud'uni astajib lakum. No, again, those prayers that we are, the prayers in general, Allah doesn't benefit from them at all. It's the person who is offering the prayers, he benefits from them. The salutations that we recite upon Rasulullah and his household, again, those salutations, although they say we ask Allah to send salutations upon him, we benefit from them. It's the purification process. It is, again, another grace of Allah that is present over there, that he wants us to benefit, he says, this is the way. Approach me, call upon me, I will respond to your call. Or the Oni, that is, ask me. So again, that bond, that link has to be created with Allah for him to benefit. Allah doesn't benefit. So again, that is Ihsan, Muhsin. Anything else? لأرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات الفاتحة مع الصلوات.